Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our fifth program where we're retracing our steps in the beginning of the externalization of the hierarchy. So far, we've done four programs. We begin on 05A, and then when we reach page 60 or 61, we'll continue with the normal number one. And let's see, get myself a little more situated here. And then go on to program number 93, which is our final program in this 701 page book. Now we work here on what's called the present urgency. And this is just before the first of the great invocations was given in 1935. So we find that this is 86 years ago. I have somewhat to say to those who are the recipients of my words, as embodied in my books and pamphlets, and who, with mental interest and devotion, follow out as far as may be my line of thought. I have for years, ever since 1919, and it was November 19th, 1919. Astrologers have done some work on that, you know, about what was it in Alice Bailey's horoscope that would have made such contact possible. Anyway, there we go. I have sought to aid you, he says, to the best of my ability since that date. The hierarchy, a name covering the working disciples of all degrees, and notice the emphasis upon the word working, has for hundreds of generations sought to aid humanity. And since the 15th century, maybe the year 1425 at that great conclave, which saw, in a way, the beginning of the Renaissance, and since the 15th century has steadily approached closer to the physical plane and sought to make a deeper impact on human consciousness, on the human consciousness. This has resulted in a recognition which has in it, at this time, the seeds of world salvation. Until the 15th century, the pull and the magnetic appeal was from the side of the watching elder brothers. Today, so numerous are the inner and outer disciples, and so many the world aspirants, the pull and the magnetic appeal are largely equalized. In other words, humanity really is invoking hierarchy. And what will happen in the world unfoldment and in the recognitions by the races will be the result of the mutual interplay of the two intents. I'm choosing my words with care. We have intention, we have a willful going forth from both ends, hierarchy and humanity. The intent of the masters to help humanity and that of the world aspirants and disciples to aid in that helping. Okay. So it is a, it is with gratitude that we human beings must look to the masters, and with gratitude that we must pledge ourselves to assist them to help the general mass of human beings. Maybe because of our studies, we know a little more and we know what the new group of world servers is. It was in that decade of the second decade of his work that information about the servers came forth, and methods of service, triangles, and world goodwill, or men of goodwill, came forth. Esoterically speaking, a point of contact, a moment of spiritual intercourse is imminent, and out of that moment, a new world can be born. You know, the interplay between hierarchy and humanity gives us, this moment of spiritual intercourse. Okay. If that can be brought about, then there can be reestablished on Earth the condition which was brought to an end in earlier days, when the hierarchy, in order to further man's mental development, withdrew behind the scenes for a period. Well, they sought, after the Atlantean War, I think he's talking about that time, to see humanity less dependent upon them, as a child would be dependent upon a parent, and sought to see humanity develop itself. If this spiritual contact can be brought about, it means that the hierarchy will no longer be hidden and unknown, but will be recognized as present upon the physical plane. And this would at first be necessarily on a small scale, and the recognition will be confined to the aspirants and disciples. Increasingly, the new group of world servers will be active in every nation and found functioning throughout the entire world. So nothing is going to occur overnight. We need to realize that. The Christian presentation of the Second Coming has in it the sudden and dramatic, and things just don't happen that way. There has to be a slow and sane preparation for this kind of more general recognition of the nature and presence of hierarchy that Master DK is discussing. So, you know, do we know whether we would recognize hierarchy if it were to appear physically? And would we recognize the Christ? Will we, in the shorter term, recognize the quality of teaching which is characteristic of Master DK when he offers the third installment of Bridging Treatises? Do we have enough sensitivity to recognize? The two thoughts I seek to impress upon your minds, he says, are first, the reestablishing of this closer relation, and secondly, the work of a practical kind that each of you can do to bring about this general recognition. So we're trying to go back to the days with a much more equipped humanity, when the hierarchy walked among men on the physical plane and guided or attempted to guide their general process. But, as I said, it will be a much more cooperative, mature, mentally alert humanity than was available to hierarchical direction in those days millions of years ago. I think, you know, in the estimation of the Atlantean War, I think Philip Lindsay, who I consider a considerable expert in these matters, said something like 4 million years ago, something like that. You'll have to read his Hidden History of Humanity, a very useful and scholarly work of a unique kind. DK goes on, I seek to emphasize the point that the final activity which will bring about this spiritual event must come from the outer plane of physical life. Humanity must invoke with strength and focus the descent of the higher sources of energy. All of us who are occupied with the plan for, quote, the next 3 years, unquote, are seeking earnestly for those who can help us and to whom appeal can be made for the putting forth of that last, final last effort, which will bring the desired anticipated and anticipated result. Well, we know that a great experiment in goodwill was attempted in the mid-30s. And so here we are writing in 1934, and this would take us to 1937. And I think by that time, it would be obvious whether humanity had succeeded in a sufficient invocation, a sufficient dedication, a sufficient one-pointed determination. Had humanity succeeded, and probably ever since 1938, when major moves on the part of the Nazis were occurring, it was judged that humanity had not succeeded. Okay, going on. I would preface what I have to say with a reminder that I only make a suggestion, and that naught that I say carries with it the slightest weight of authority. In other words, the imposition of a command. And also that I'm aware of the frequent futility of such appeals for cooperation. You know, it's interesting that hierarchy has to go searching on the outer plane for its cooperators. The history of the world of thought evidences the fact that men are often thrilled and enlightened and aided by ideas and by the promise of a developing future, but that when their aid is sought in the materializing of the idea, then their hope and interest fade out on the mental plane, or if it reaches the world of emotion and of strong desire, the sacrifice required to bring the hope to birth on the physical plane is lacking or too feeble to produce the longed for result. So is he saying that even the aspirants and disciples are rather selfish and rather lazy in these matters, and that they will not carry through on the basis of what they know must be done, and you know, each one of us must ask, have we carried through on the basis of what we know must be done? So DK is not telling us we must, but he is encouraging us to think of how important it is that the men and women of goodwill and the new group of world servers offer their aid. It always requires sacrifice, doesn't it? And there are things that could be done that maybe are more appealing to us personally. And we have to relinquish those, at least temporarily, as we move towards a state of real cooperation. And that relinquishment is difficult. But these relinquishments, these renunciations in their accumulated weight lead to the great renunciation when a human being really comes under the monad and descends from the fixed cross and becomes a true member of hierarchy. There are those who have taken the fourth initiation and they are actually in charge of certain ashrams, maybe of a more mental scientific type, and maybe not found exactly on the Buddhic plane, but on the higher mental. So this is a discussion which has behind it the Tibetan sense of urgency. And he really is calling for us, as still he calls for us, because the period of transition is not over, and maybe this third period in the transitional period will be really the most difficult as we come into, technically speaking, the Aquarian Age. He goes on, what I have to say as a result of the urgency upon me to bring about a more intensive cooperation upon the part of those who read with interest the pamphlet the next 3 years carries not the smallest fraction of authority. Well, it depends on what we mean by authority. I think he means authoritative imposition. At one point, discussing the political workers, he says it is a noble thing to be an agent of the imposition of the will of God, but this is not the same thing as a disciple or a master demanding obedience. It's a different kind of imposition under the first ray and is necessary. So just go to your esoteric psychology too, the law of service, and read the different kinds of service which are available to the human being, and read also in Discipleship in the New Age Volume 1 under the fifth seed group, which is the group of political workers. He says, I only appeal to you in the hope of intensifying your effort for the space of the next 2 years. One has already passed, because after the early autumn of 1936, the effort along this particular line will either have failed or will no longer be required in this particular form. Well, it's even earlier than 1938, I see. The great invocation, invoking the forces of light, had been given out. The effort to sweep the world with goodwill, the energy of goodwill had been attempted. And by 1936, the result of that effort would have been made clear to hierarchy. And here we have, this means impositional authority. So DK is making many appeals to people. He even uses the words, I beg you to. He's really asking us in the most earnest way for our help. And he is noting that oftentimes such requests are not met with the adequate response. Now he goes on, my sole responsibility is to put the opportunity before the world aspirants. I suppose what he means there is really the those who are true aspirants and who have taken the first initiation, to point out to them the inherent possibilities of this particular situation, to indicate lines of helpful activity, and then, having so done, to withdraw the power of my mind and thought, and so leave each aspirant free to come to his own decisions. Well, we're looking at this in the historical context. We know what was the intention. We know how good an intention it was. And we know of the possibilities that were available at that time. We also know that the world was involved in a super violent Second World War, not long after these appeals were made. It may be that the forces of darkness were very strong, and humanity simply insufficiently alert to the danger. Okay, so the pamphlet, the next 3 years, is going forth today upon its mission. Its objective is to educate public opinion, which DK said, of course, is a major force in conditioning human behavior. It, the pamphlet, carries both inspiration and the power to produce cleavages in the life. Cleavages which will produce new activities and the cessation of old attitudes of mind. Maybe we divide ourselves from our old and non-productive attitudes on the basis of the inspiration received. And then, of course, we have to fight it out. Do we go backwards according to established myopic habit? Or do we go forward under the inspiration provided by Master DK and by our response to Master DK? A possible happening is indicated. The formation upon the physical plane of that group of aspirants and disciples, which, given time and opportunity, can salvage a distressed world and bring light and understanding to humanity. As to this, I need say no more, and it's obviously the new group of world servers. So we are all left to our own choice, having been adequately informed. Such a relief to be able, with two keyboards, to type the letter E, which is so frequently found. All of you, he says, have to read the plan as it is embodied in the pamphlet. I wonder, among the published works, are we going to get these writings? I remember when I worked at the Arcane School headquarters, I saw that that pamphlet was available, but it would be good. I think it is found in the writings somewhere. And the challenge to faith and the appeal to your service is before you. The challenge to faith and the appeal to your service is before you. The next 2 years will see the decision as to whether the fusion of the inner and the outer groups of world servers can be made, or whether more time must elapse before the earlier ancient cooperation between hierarchy and humanity can be established. Well, DK knows the timing, and our planetary logos does have a time-space schedule, you know, at least in this great realm of Maya, looked at philosophically, a realm in which we must perforce participate. There is the Maya which can be, dissipated, devitalized and dispersed. And then there is the Maya, which is simply the planetary, solar systemic, galactic, whatever, universal process. And there is no escaping from that Maya, which generally means the world illusion or the universal illusion, until the particular universe that one is seeing as an aspect of one's great self disappears, as every universe disappears. Of course, if one really thinks about it, one has to go with Galileo, having conducted a kind of thought experiment regarding infinity, and deciding that God is just not comprehensible to man. And of course, you know, he was correct. It was a mathematical kind of example that he used, involving concentric circles and an infinite number of points on the smaller circle, which continued to produce greater infinities. Well, it is the great problem to solve. Okay, Master DK goes on. I speak, he says, with love and almost anxiety, and with a wider knowledge of the present urgency than you can possibly have. I couch what I have to say to you in the form of certain questions, and I ask that you should, that you should put to yourselves with quietness and sincerity. I mean, it is, DK has told us, a kind of exquisite agony through which the masters pass as they attempt to influence for the better human behavior in a way which is lawfully permitted. He tells us that we may imagine them in their safe retreats far above and beyond all the misery and horror which is occurring on the outer plane, but really they are in a state of great spiritual agony over what humanity will choose and whether it will go up or doubt. At the end of 1942, the hierarchy actually felt, according to their best deliberations, that humanity would inevitably go down, but we know the story of the intervention of the Lords of Liberation, about which DK could not say too much, except that the secrets of the destructive nature of atomic energy were kept from those members of the Axis powers, namely Germany, who would have used such secrets to basically destroy humanity, or at least their enemies, and probably at length themselves. So now the questions. And of course, we have to take the time with quietness and sincerity to put these questions to ourselves. After all, who's going to answer them? Some people say, I don't know what to say. Where can I find some response in me to this? But that indicates an unwillingness to look persistently and with sincerity. Number one, do I really and in truth desire the establishment of this closer interplay between the inner and outer worlds? And if so, what am I prepared to do in order to bring this about? Desire. Because, you know, we can say we desire something, and yet it may turn out that on closer examination, it was a glib response, and maybe we don't really desire this because of the responsibility it would place upon us, the extra burden of work. DK so often uses the term work and the working disciple. So do I really and in truth desire the closer interplay between hierarchy and humanity? Because only if I do will I have the sufficient illumination and love and sacrificial will to help in the way that help must be offered. Otherwise, I may be like the people who serve, apparently, but gaining more from the experience of serving in terms of egoistic recognition than the help offered to those they serve. So selfishness is a sneaky thing, and the lion must not be allowed to escape from the cave. Hercules must seal the second opening in the cave so that he can confront the lion, which he does as he hunts himself, hunts his personality. I've known Leo people, you know, who do exactly that. They may not tell you they're doing it, but they do it. And they come to that confrontation with the beast, and they strangle the beast, and they've been achieve the right to wear the lion's skin. It's all symbolic, of course, but we must learn to confront the king of beasts, and we as the initiate unicorn finally put the seal on the prominence of the personality. It's not allowed. It's ancient authority. It is simply instrumental to our initiate intentions. And the second question, is there any way in which I can make a definite contribution towards this desired end? Recognizing my special circumstances, what more can I give? In meditation, understanding of the plan, love of my fellow man. Well, let's pause for a minute and ask ourselves, relatively briefly at the moment, but what more can I give? Am I really contributing? Do I have the will to do this? And then what are my gifts? Let's just pause in a little reflection here. Occasionally it is a good thing to do. Well, obviously, these questions are important, and we have to take them aside. There's all kinds of circumstances in which we can do more. Our understanding of the plan, I would venture to say, is quite meager. Our love of our fellow men is incomplete. I mean, we love those we love, but there are many that we just don't love. And of course, we can deepen our meditation if we will, if we're willing to make the necessary sacrifices to do so. So these reminders have to be carried with us when we're studying, when we're thinking, when we're reading. Master DK or Agni Yoga, obviously we're there, we're present, we're thinking. But what about when we're not directly engaged with the teaching? Can we carry this good advice? So further elaborating here, okay, so here are the questions I have to say to you in the form of certain questions that you should put to yourselves with quietness so we don't get a lot of activation of old glamours and ever-ready illusions which substitute themselves for clear, careful thought, quietness, and really meaning business. We want to know where our motive is clear. He goes on, elaborating on point number two, forget not that meditation clarifies the mind as to the fact and nature of the plan. That understanding brings that plan into the world of desire. We understand why it must be enacted, and we find ourselves, because we realize its importance, desiring that it be enacted, and that love releases the form which will make the plan materialize upon the physical plane. To these three expressions of your soul, I call you, all of you, without exception, can serve in these three ways. So meditation clarifies the mind as to the fact and nature of the plan. Understanding brings the plan into the world of desire, and love releases the form which will make the plan materialize on the physical plane. And he's calling us to all three of these. There are many lists in this book, and it can be difficult to fulfill these lists, let alone, you know, first to remember them or reference them and then fulfill them and have them on our minds. Well, there's enough repetition to make it possible that the point is driven home. And there's overlap in these lists. The great essential is a threefold essential: meditate, study, and serve. Meditation bringing clarification, study bringing understanding and motivation from our desire nature, and service being dependent on love, and will help us undergo the sacrifices which those who love feel both necessary and inevitable. I mean, when you really love somebody, you make sacrifices. And the Christ so loved the world, so loved humanity, so loved all the different kingdoms and the general manifestation of the planetary logos, that he made and continues to make great sacrifices. So, you know, it's a good thing to ask ourselves, what really are we sacrificing to ensure that the plan will manifest? Of course, we have our limitations, but we also know what we're willing to renounce in order that the way may be more clear. Here's a point three. Is this, let's see, how many points does he say here that he has? Certain questions, he doesn't say whether it's two or three. But if a master speaks to you about his love and almost anxiety, it really is to be attended to. No question about that. So he goes on. The objective of all the work to be done at this time is to educate public opinion and to familiarize the thinking people of the world with the urgency and the opportunity of the next 2 years. Well, he's doing what he can, you know. If this is indeed so, what am I doing to make this possible? So, Master DK realizing the urgency with a state of the psyche, which is almost anxiety, he's reviewing now with the readers what he is attempting to do to help the conclusion of these 2 years of labor be successful in terms of human uplift and human progress and even human safety. Okay, to elaborate this question, have I spoken to all I could in my environment? Or have I been held back by fear? Actually, what I see here is that I've slightly misinterpreted this. He is suggesting questions for us. I mean, no doubt he is way beyond the answering of these questions, but of course, there was a time in his lives when he had to answer this in order to become what he became. We have to familiarize thinking people with the urgency. Do we still have the urgency? Yes, as the tendency towards retrogressive totalitarianism is again with us. So the I here is us. We are the I. And surely he has done everything he can to educate public opinion through us, through his pamphlets, through his writings, through what we might be able to distribute to awaken people. So point A, I can just make the cursor move down there. Have I spoken to all I could in my environment? Or have I been held back by fear? He talks about people being afraid to talk about money. He says it's a second-rate trait. And he compliments the disciple RVB for his courage, which went against his own timidity in this regard, and this courage allowed him to speak to others about the need for the money to support the work of headquarters and generally the Lucis Trust at the time. So ask yourself that. Have I spoken to all I could in my environment, or have I been held back by fear? You know how it is that you may see an opening, but then suddenly you anticipate a negative reaction from a person, and maybe you don't quite know how to speak of what you know should be, speak about what you know should be important, and you let the opportunity pass. He says, so many hours are lost in this way. Have I made possible the wide distribution of the pamphlet on this subject? Its distribution in its present form is possible only until the fall of 1936, and the time is therefore short. So that's a 2-year window, because this article was written in October, I think, of 1934. Have I aided in a material and financial way as far as is possible? Can I do more than I have done so far to help to meet this requirement? Well, Master DK gives us some maybe unwelcome words to many of us. He says, give until it hurts. And that's pretty drastic. And if it's not hurting, maybe the amount of giving is not sufficient for the individual. Point D, what more of my time, and it's time and money really here, the sacrifice of time and money, what more of my time can I give to help this work, to aid those who are distributing the pamphlet, or to gather people together for discussion? Can I not dedicate some time every day to this definite ideal and service? Apparently this pamphlet, I think we'll have to find it and then, you know, go back and look at these questions. There was urgency. And the pamphlet dealt in a comprehensible way with the urgency. I guess many of us are working under the sense of urgency now, and sometimes when dramatic things happen in the world, the sense of urgency grows, and some inkling of the point of tension at which we must work also makes itself better known. You know, are we working at a sufficient point of tension? Focused immovable will, it is called. And if we did, of course, our service would be greatly augmented. So we have this fear factor. We have the distribution factor. We have the material and financial factor. And we have the time factor. Well, these are common dimensions involved with service. And as aspirants and disciples, we really have to manage these things. Can we do so? You know, and of course, it's just not correct to say, well, look, that was written in 1934, so here it is, 2020, 86 years later, and it just can't apply all that much. But think of it, that in the 1940s, the 14 rules for group work in the Aquarian age were also given in the book, The Rays and the Initiations, or it became that book. Well, that is a gift which is not going to disappear. It's not subject to the usual predations of time when we say, oh, that's outmoded, outlived. No, these are meant to apply for all those who wish to work in group formation during the Aquarian Age. And maybe for some, beyond that point, it can be a gift of value for at least 2,000 years. And so we cannot go backwards and say that the date of publication determines the value of that which is published. Well, if that's the case, we wouldn't be reading the Bible, would we? We wouldn't be reading the Yoga Sutras or the Bhagavad Gita or any of the great writings of India, like the Upanishads. We wouldn't be reading them. They're old. They don't apply. They're old. So it's a very specious argument to say the date of publication determines the usefulness of that which is published. D.K. did want his disciples to have in their possession, and probably handy, the New Testament, the Bhagavad Gita, the Yoga Sutras, and the Viveka Kudamani, the Shankara book, the crest jewel of discrimination. And there we have that kind of discrimination using Saturn and Mercury at the fourth degree that tells us the difference between the real and the unreal. Most of us are living in an unreal world, beglamored and subject to illusion and driven up and down the land by Maya, which are these habit patterns which don't bring us to any useful result. They just are lunarly repetitive. So we have to get rid of those obstructive habit patterns. Responding to my appeal will involve sacrifice, but all who grasp the plan are today spending themselves in the effort to lift humanity up to another rung of the ladder and into greater light. You know, it's like this ladder is a succession of points of tension. Now, all of us live at a certain point of tension, which is, in one sense, expulsive of interfering influences, high or low, and it is in another sense, a great focusing act, which reveals to us certain energies and phenomena which can only be accessed at that particular point of tension, or maybe something higher, certainly not from a lower point of tension. So uplifting man, uplifting the human race, is to intensify the point of tension at which we habitually live. So their hands, those who grasp the plan, their hands need strengthening, their work needs helping. There is not one of you who cannot do more than you are doing. Through the aid of meditation, money and thought. Meditation, money to be diverted into the stream of beneficence, and in general, thought, which should not be expended upon unworthy subjects, unworthy objectives. We can all do more than we are doing. Salvage the world, to educate public opinion, and so bring in the new day. What do we call it sometimes? The day be with us. It's sort of what precedes any prolaic moment. So, sacrifice. Easily said, but the very first law of the soul is the law of sacrifice. And it seems that so many of us cannot properly get beyond it. And we'll be excited or enthusiastic about anything that promises more contact with higher points of energy, but what about the sacrifices to get there? Just think of Sanat Kumara as the great sacrifice, standing at his post and not vacating his post, though there are many other things that might interest him. Standing at his post until the last weary pilgrim finds his way home. So eventually, through our studies, our meditation, our constant attempt to apply what we know in service, we do see more, we understand more, we become better servers, we are more useful to the hierarchy. We're not, what does DK say, until a certain point is reached, and maybe it is that midway point between the second and third initiation, we are considered a hazard and a liability, even though we might do some useful things. So we don't want to remain in that category of where trust from the masters is wisely held back until we can achieve a state where trust is justified. So by studying this book, serving as it indicates, understanding the hierarchy and its preparations to emerge, and understanding the great Lord and his intentions towards humanity, we will progress along the ladder of useful service. We will. It's just going to take applied persistence. I still persist. It's a first ray mantra. Well, okay, looks like this approximately 1 hour program has taken us to another program. A challenging opportunity. Now, you know, we've gone back in the book and, you know, we took it all the way up to 1949. We began somewhere 1935-36. And now we're still, we've gone from October of 34 to April of 35. And here is the opportunity, and we will take that up shortly. So, lots of love to you, many blessings. And let's take our opportunity to study deeply and meditate always with greater penetration and clarity, and find a way to offer our service according to our abilities and in response to the main priority, which is the present need. What is the need of the moment right now? You know, the idea of the one humanity and of mutual assistance and all those things that prepare for the coming of the Christ, the economic sharing, the peace, the getting rid of corruption, which is the house cleaning, especially of political and religious organizations, but maybe not confined to them. These are the tasks of the hour. They still are the tasks of the hour. And if we want the Christ to appear in a timely manner, according to his longing thus to appear, we have to play our part in applying ourselves to these three requirements to share, induce the peace, and clean the house of the many devils who may have taken up residence when we were looking the other way. Okay, I'll go on soon. And this is page 24 at the beginning of the book, right? I don't know what caused me to plunge into it a little bit in the middle, but I did. So anyway, this is page 20 to 24. And the last one before that was 15 to 20. And our date here is the 28th. And we've gone up to 24. Okay, so now I'm going to take this down to where we completed this program and take the book out or the video or whatever and apply yourself to the questions, you know. Because in the answering of these questions, we demonstrate to ourselves our fitness to really be of use. So this was 05A, and I'll get rid of this page zero, and we'll go on to number six, hopefully today, and we'll begin at page 24. Okay, friends, that should bring us to some clarity here. That's what we want, little clarity, and then we proceed. So we'll see you soon. Bye-bye now, or for now. Okay.